The title of it is The Light of the Cross. The scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. This is what it says. It says, in my ministry, and he's talking about Lauren Larson, in my ministry, I speak a lot about the cross. Whenever I say that, I'm not simply referring to the suffering of Christ, the passion of Christ, or even the willingness of Christ to die on the cross. All of that certainly is a part of the terminology surrounding the cross of Christ. But my references to the cross deal far more with what Christ accomplished on Calvary. Calvary is where God's promise to redeem man was carried out. Turn the page. Everything about Christianity is connected to and a result of the event of Christ's death. Today, believers are to be the beneficiaries of what Christ did on Calvary. Specifically, the cross is where Jesus died to pay the penalty for every sin that has ever been committed, is presently being committed, or shall be committed. It was at the cross where Jesus broke the power of sin over us, including the dominion of the sin nature and every aspect of temptation to sin. It was the event of Calvary that opened up the door and enabled humanity to receive inheritance, blessings, and grace from God based upon simple faith in Christ and his finished work. Are you living in the light of the cross? We know Jesus paid a great price bodily upon the cross. But the consequences of what he did has set the church at liberty, my Lord. Because of what he did in dying for us, because we should have been on that cross. But he paid the price for us. And let me tell you this. Keep your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross in breaking the chain of bondage upon your life and my life. The things that have held you and I in bondage for so long, only the cross of Calvary can break. Nothing else. He's come to set at liberty those that have been bruised, those that have been in captivity, and set us free, my Lord. Keep your faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Amen. If you take your Bibles and make our declaration before him, say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. If you would stretch forth your hands towards me, if you don't mind, as I pray for myself, Father, Lord, I humbly come before you, Lord. And Lord, I would pray that you would help me to convey the message that you put upon my heart accurately towards your people, Lord. Father, I pray that the preacher and the teacher would come out this morning in this sermon, Father. Your anointing and your presence to be upon my life. And Lord God, I receive the prayers of your people upon my life this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I know today I told you it was Flag Day. Flag Day is a celebration of the American flag that occurs each year on June 14th. The anniversary of the flag's official adoption. And so we celebrate our flag and we thank God for what its meaning is. The 13 stripes of red and white intertwined there. We have the blue background with all the stars. We can see it here. You know, the first one was in a circle, and it was the 13 colonies. Now every star represents a state. And now we have, and the stripes, which represent, I think, the first 13 colonies there. And so we thank God for this great flag, people. You know, just me, you know, I don't like to see the American flag on the ground, on the floor, you know, I mean, you know, just, you know, it's just, and sometimes things just happen, and it's not like somebody did it, but I know I was on my route one day, this has been about a year and a half ago, and just walking and doing the stuff that I need to, and there was a little American flag about this big, you know, just on the street. And probably what happened was it was on a vehicle. You know how some people put it on their vehicles, you know, and whatever. And so, and probably fell off, and they didn't notice, and they don't know where it's at. So I said, oh, I cannot leave that right there. Just, no. So I picked it up, and I put it in my bag. And when I got back to the office, there's a on each of our cases, well, the city side, we have our books that we have to put in to keep a log of all the boxes and all that stuff. And so I put it in there, and it's been there for a year and a half, and no one has said anything. You know, you just kind of, but you know, it's our flag, and so we got to, if we don't honor it, who will? That's just like the Word of God. If we don't honor the Word and we don't honor our God, who will? You see, God wants us to honor him because he is our leader and our guide. Amen. You know, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior potentially gave birth to the church. It gave birth to the church of the living God. Acts chapter 2 is actually the birthday or the launch of the church as the Holy Spirit came upon the gathering of believers in Jerusalem. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where the New Testament church comes in. It was started and birthed in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon them. And all that were in that house were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Okay? They spoke, and it's still for today, speaking in tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's still for today. I don't know how preachers can preach, or I don't know how preachers can have a relationship with the Lord without the Holy Spirit, you know. But it's still the birth of the church, of the mighty church upon the earth, the New Testament church. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. Page 2154. Page 2154. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse starting with verse 5. It says, you also as living stones, and we're living stones because of what Jesus did for us, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him shall not be confounded or will not be put to shame. Here we see, we know Jesus is the foundation for the church. Really, Jesus is the foundation for your life. When you became born again and you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says that Jesus is the cornerstone. Or I can take it a step further, the chief cornerstone. You see, in this building, you know, there are beams. We have cement on the floor, and I wasn't here when this place was built. It was built when we bought it. But there are beams that run across, and I think there's one at the beginning of the building. There's one right in the middle here. That's a beam. There's another one in the middle there. There's like, five that run across. And then you have stuff on the outside of the walls, too, that tie it all in. Those beams keep this building afloat. I say that. It keeps the building standing. Okay. It says this, that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. You know, in the Old Testament and even parts of the New Testament, they would build their houses out of rock. I mean, they'd get big stones and they would put it down and they would put the mortar between. It's not like the bricks that we kind of see today on homes. It's a little different, you know, a little different. But it says that they would take a big stone, one that was solid, one that was big, and one that was firm on the inside. And they would put that one at the corner of whatever the house was going to be built, wherever it was going to be built. And they named it as the chief cornerstone, even though they probably had other cornerstones, because it takes more than one. But this one was the chief cornerstone. See, Jesus is the chief cornerstone of all of our lives. And if the chief cornerstone is kicked out or done away with, the whole house will fall. So we have to make sure that Jesus stays the chief cornerstone, as it says in the scripture. That he stays solid there in our lives. And really, honestly, only you can determine that for your life. That stone stays there as the chief cornerstone, and you build your life upon him and what he has done for us at Calvary's cross. The cornerstone was usually, like I said, one of the largest, most solid, most carefully constructed of any in the house or in the building. The cornerstone was the principal stone usually placed at the corner of the building to guide the workers in their course. And we know this, when Jesus came into our lives, we got off of the sand of life, which fades away, huh? And we got on the big stone and we said, Lord, you're my God. You're my Lord. And Lord, I will trust you no matter what comes my way, because he is the chief cornerstone to build our hearts and our lives upon him. Because we try building our lives upon our own path, huh? And that's all sand, and it just fades away. It just fades away. We didn't know any better. I mean, we were just trying to do what we could do. But things were just not right, it seems like. And there was a hunger in our hearts for more of him. Lord, I don't know what it is and what I need, but Father, I need you. And all of a sudden, God would send our way somebody to share the gospel with us. Can you remember the day that you got saved? Can you remember the day when you prayed the sinner's prayer and asked God to come into your heart and life because you were tired of living a life that was separated from him? And how you went from having a foundation of sand where it just disappeared and it seemed like things just were array in your heart and life, and you stepped upon the chief cornerstone and you said, Lord, from this day forward, I will serve you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God started to build in you the characters of him, his son, in your heart and in your life. It seems like you had more love for people. It seems like we learned how to be quiet at times. You might say, God is still working. That's good. We need the Holy Ghost to work in our hearts and lives. Look, I've told you this before, so it's not going to be a shock to you. We are a bunch of messed up people. We are messed up. I mean, but thank God he can take something that's a mess and make it good and right. My Lord, we get off of that sand and we get upon that chief cornerstone, and God says, I can make something of that young man. I can make something of that young woman. I can make something of that boy or that girl. I can make something in their hearts and lives. And we see God, the Holy Ghost, come in and change us. He gives us something to live for. There's a power. There's an anointing. There's the presence of the Lord upon our hearts and upon our lives. My Lord. It makes you want to shout, huh, a little bit. The glory of the Lord upon the man of God or the woman of God. How many times have you been somewheres and God says, I want to use you? And you know, you just kind of... And he may not have spoken that to you, but you just feel the presence of the Lord upon your life. And you see somebody and you pray with them and you help them, you do something, and man, you feel the presence of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Don't get too prideful, because he can use a donkey and he can use a rooster. Okay? You got to stay humbly before him, saying, Lord, I seek your face, Lord. Don't seek the hand of God. Seek his face. Saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I don't know where I'm going to end up if you don't help me with this. I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going to go. But let me tell you this, when you stepped over the side of being upon from that sand to that cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, he's saying, now you're mine. And let me tell you, he will do what needs to be done to make things happen in your heart and life. Hey, look, things happen, people. Things go awry. But I tell you what, you stand firm on that foundation that he is the chief cornerstone. I don't want to stand on no sand, and I don't want to stand on any just little cornerstone at all. I want to stand on the chief cornerstone and seeing the hand of God upon my heart and upon my life. Seeing him move within our hearts and lives. You see, Jesus, one of the most humble person in all the world, yet he said some bold things. He didn't mess around either. But this man never sinned in his life. You might say, how was that possible? Well, because he knew the Father, and because he didn't have the sin nature in him, he was the perfect sacrifice. Perfect. There was no other one that could come in the future after him. There was no one in the past that could do it. He was the only one. Born of Mary, but yet not conceived by Mary or Joseph. Can you imagine the Godhead walked the earth? The third, one of the people in the Trinity, the second of the Trinity, walked the earth. My Lord. You know, some people say, man, I'd love to have been here when Jesus walked the earth. And that would have been great, because we would have saw him physically. But I tell you what, today's a great day, people. To have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit that is here today and with you at your home and with you upon your job and with you when you're crying, with you when you don't know what to do, with you, us when we need direction, is the Holy Spirit that's here and couldn't come until Jesus paid the price and the Father accepted it. The chief cornerstone of our lives. And you know what? We got to make sure it stays the chief cornerstone. That we don't become our own cornerstones. Or we don't let a preacher become your cornerstone. Or a family member become your cornerstone. Or you can't even let your children become your cornerstone. Zero. That doesn't mean you don't care about all those things. You love them more than ever before. But Jesus has to say your chief cornerstone. You might say, well, how do I do that? You keep your faith and trust in him. No matter, every day I tell Lord, I keep my faith and my trust in you. I don't care what men do or say or think so much about me, because I'm putting my faith in you and what you can do, Lord. And you are going to move the mountains that need to be moved. Now, that doesn't mean you don't want friends. You want friends. You want people. Jesus had 12. And one went crazy. I mean, I say crazy because he chose to go away. That wasn't good. And this guy, Judas, didn't make it, people. Didn't make it. But we've chosen a way, and that's Jesus Christ. We got to make sure as we build our lives that he is the center, the chief cornerstone of our homes. As we build upon it. You might say, well, how do I do that? Search the scriptures. Let it feed your soul on a continual basis. Search Christ. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him while he may be found. Seek him. Take a little bit of time every day to seek your God. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I don't even feel the presence of the Lord when I'm praising him or honoring him or reading his word. That doesn't mean he's not there. It probably takes more faith to read your word when you're getting nothing out of it. It's like, but you say, Lord, I'm doing it because your word says in Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto him. You see, he wants you to know his word so that you and I are not deceived by the enemy that goes around like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he's continually. And he doesn't try to devour so much the ones that don't know him, don't know God. He already has them, so he just does little, little stuff. But he's seeking to devour you. He's trying to get you off of your rock and on something else. So you stay solid upon that rock, even though the winds may come, the storm may blow, the rains come, the flood comes. We keep our faith and trust in him no matter what. Because he is the king, he is Lord, he is God, and he will help us get to the other side. My Lord, look at this. It says this. Let's read verse 6 again. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. He's an elect one. He's precious. And he who believes in him shall not be confounded. He who believes in him, as the comment says, shall not be put to shame. As we look to him and we ask him for leadership and guidance and help, you see, he does not expect you to live this life without him. He wants you to call upon him. It said, the scripture says, call upon me and I will answer you. We have a definite reply from our God every time we call upon him. It says he will tell us what to do. He might speak to us. He might speak to your spirit. He might speak through the word of God. He could speak through a person. He could speak through whatever circumstances he wants. But he speaks to his people because he is your chief cornerstone. And he's there to help us to move in our lives and to give us the guidance that we need. Look at this. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Page 2064. The cornerstone was the principal stone usually placed at the corner of the building to guide the workers in their course. The cornerstone is reliable. The one you can trust in and will never be put to shame. Mm. 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And he's the chief cornerstone because of what he did at Calvary's cross. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So if you're calling upon anything else except Jesus Christ, you're going to miss it. Miss it. There's only one mediator between God and man. And I know a lot of us grew up in a religion that told us we could go to God through all kinds of ways. But I tell you what, there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only way. The only way that will touch and affect the Father that we serve. And so we hit the bullseye every time, people, as we pray. When I pray, I just say, Lord, Father, I come to you, and I come to you through the precious name of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Then I praise him, I honor him, I look up scriptures, just all kinds of stuff, and just trying to know him in a better way. And then I bring my petitions before him, the things that are weighing upon my heart. Petitions, I know things that you're going through, that I say, Lord, help them in those areas, Lord. Let it not be a stumbling block to them, but let it be a stepping stone that they can get to the next level with you, Lord God Almighty. That your power and your presence will flow through their lives. You will give them the direction they need. You will flow through their hearts and lives and help them through all situations. Read verse 20 again. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, page 2160. I have about another hour and a half to go since I hadn't preached in 2 weeks. I hope you brought a sack lunch of some kind. If anybody's taking order, let me know. We'll pass on the orders. It's good to preach, I tell you. I love preaching. And I love preaching not to just people out there. I love preaching to you. Because you are special to Jelaine and I. We pray. We ask God to move upon you. We ask God to give you direction. The things we know that's happening in your lives that you tell us about, we pray for. And even when we sense some things, we pray for it by the Holy Ghost. Because prayer changes things. If you are a Christian, which I know everyone is in here, I think, if you don't have a prayer life of some kind, you will never make it. I'm telling you. You might say, well, how long do I need to pray? You know, if I told you that and you didn't do it in 2 weeks from now, you would feel guilty. So, you know, 30 minutes might be great. I don't know. 15 minutes might be great. Whatever it is. But you get with God and you build that foundation of prayer in your life. Because you see, you and I need it to charge up our batteries, Lord, in him. To be on fire for the things of God. To let God move within us. You know, God never intended for the church body or the church or the pastors to be dead. If he intended the church to be dead, when he started the New Testament church, he would not have sent the power of the Holy Ghost upon the first church of the living God in the New Testament. It says there were cloven tongues of fire like it was upon their heads. My Lord. The power. But I tell you what, it took them staying and doing it. Because you see, we know there was 120, but But there was more than that there at the start. Only 120 stayed. See, we got to stay where God's presence is and where God moves upon us, because that's where the blessings of God are. And that's where he will move upon us and move in our hearts and move in our lives. Excuse me. He holds everything together. He holds up believers together, and he holds up the church as he is our chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 5:6, it says this, and we got to keep this in mind. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. People, we have to stay humble before the Lord. We cannot walk around, and that's just a walk of a, and feeling that we're better than anybody else in the kingdom of God. I remember years, a long time ago, in no church around here at all, but we had gone to in another parish, Jelaine and I, for whatever reason. And we got there, we sat down, it was a big church. Lord, have mercy. And I remember we were there, praise and worship. I mean, at least 10 minutes. And it's like the old pastor and his wife and all their entourage walked in. And I knew, you know, he was a new pastor. I say new. He had been in there a couple of years, whatever. But it seems like they walked in like, and I'm telling you, the arrogance. And I thought, Lord. And like everything basically stopped for them. And I said, Father, that's not good. Not good. And you know, hey, look, maybe they're growing in the things of God. I don't know. I hope they've changed by now, many years ago. But we got to make sure that we humbly come before our God. And we say, Lord, help me to do your will, Lord. Now that doesn't mean boldness doesn't come upon the child of God. And I'm not saying humble and weak. Okay? We need to be humble and strong and stand upon the rock of the cornerstone of our God. Saying, Lord, without you we will fail. Without you, I cannot live this life. Without you, I cannot stand and do what you've called me to do. But you see, when you stand upon that rock and you humbly come before him, you'll see the power of Almighty God come in. Because you see, it took days and weeks before the Holy Spirit came into that house of 120 or so. They had to empty themselves of themselves and look to him. See, we got to empty ourselves of ourselves. And saying, Lord, whatever's wrong in my life, Lord, lead me and guide me and help me to change, Lord. See, we have a lot of work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. And hey, thank God we've come a long way, huh? Like I hear somebody, people say, you wouldn't have wanted to know me 5-10 years ago. I said, well, thank you, Lord. Now I know you. Amen. Let's go on. Humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And you know what? You might even pray that, saying, Lord, help me to stay humble before you. Under your hand. Many preachers have lost their churches because of being proud and arrogant. I mean, serious business people. But many preachers have done extraordinary things for the kingdom of God as they just humbled and said, Lord, your will be done. You know, it takes a man of God or a woman of God to have things done supernaturally and give praise to him and not self. Many people will say, man, boy, you've done a good job in Gaydon. You know, man, look what y'all have done. And I always, if I can't say it to them as I'm walking away, I always say, Lord, it's because of you and no one else. No one else. The leading and guiding of the Holy Ghost, saying, Lord, what do you want to do? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, 20 and 60, where we're at. It says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, it says this, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. And I want to read what the comment says. Every true Christian faces the onslaught of the evil one. Verse 10. But the God of grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you had suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. See, the onslaught of the enemy will come your way. But this is what God's trying to do. He's trying to make you perfect. And the comment says, imperfect, it means to knit together with the Spirit. Sometimes if affliction doesn't come our way, we start to rely on self and what we can do, huh? Yeah. But you see, the Spirit of God wants us to be knit together. You know, often think of, you know, somebody crocheting or knitting or doing a blanket, you know, knit. It takes maybe two fabrics, and that needle goes through both of them, and they were separate, but he brings them, they bring them together. Brings it together. That's like making a dress or whatever it is, or a big blanket or whatever. It brings them together by the oneness of that thread. See, God is trying to knit us, make us perfect in him. And so he knits us together with him. And every time it goes through that fabric of one of the other one, it hurts. It hurts. And when it comes out, he has to go again till it's all sewn up. He's trying to make us perfect, knit with him together, that we don't live a separate life. The Holy Spirit is there and we're over here. No, 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 no. When we accepted Christ, he came and lived and abides now in us. And he's trying to knit us together with him, that we know the voice of our God. We know what pleases him and what does not please him. So that we live lives that are pleasing unto him, that we think the way he thinks. That's why we need the Word of God. Our actions are compelled by the Spirit of the Lord and by the Word of God and what he does. He establishes us, it says. That means to set something firmly in place, make it stable or confirm it. Strengthen us to make us strong. God does not want you or I to be weak Christians. Weak. You can take two people. They got saved at the same time. Let's say they're 5 years of age in their Christianity, born again. The storms of life come their way, two exact things to the person. One stands firm on the cornerstone and one doesn't. They both have the Spirit of God. They're both working on their salvation. They're both working and letting God move in them. One stands firm, the other doesn't. You see, God wants us to be strong. And strong doesn't mean that we don't go to people for help. Amen. Now, you know, if you go to them every day, well, there's a problem. You know, you got to stand firm on your own sometimes. You know, when a baby starts to walk, we're around them. Don't hit this. I mean, you know. But then after, you know, they start to walk and really are firm in their walk with him, we let them go. You know, that's just like they start to ride a bike. You know, we're on the back and we're helping them and we're there, you know. But after a while, when they get to know how to ride their bike, we just tell them, go ride your bike. We don't have to be there with them like that. You see? Got to be strong. We got to let the Spirit of God work in us, be established, and also to settle us, establish firmly, more stable, or bring to a place of rest and security. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, 1658. Look at verse 24 to 29. It says, "Is therefore whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, the chief cornerstone. And everyone who bears these sayings of mine does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which builds his house upon the sand." Verse 27. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and was great the fall of it." "And it shall come to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority." Two different homes. The sun comes out, and they both look great, people. As the sun is shining, both houses look great. I mean, it is just perfect. The grass is cut. You know, there's no mold on the front of the house that leads to the north. Everything just looks perfect. Both of them, perfect. Perfect. But yet the winds, the rain descends upon it. The floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Now, two houses, talking about really two different people. The rains of disappointment come down. The rains of failure. The floods of horrible things happen to us. The winds blow against us. And you know what? It didn't stop there. It says, and beat upon that house. As Christians, the rain will descend upon us. The floods will come. The winds will blow. And it will look like you will not make it till tomorrow. But I tell you what, you set in your mind and your heart that Jesus is your chief cornerstone. That you will not be moved. You might be swayed a little bit. Because it's hard when rain's pouring. Anybody's ever been in pouring down rain? That's horrible, huh? Or winds blowing so hard it pushes you to the left or to the right. But God said, if our foundation is Him and Him alone, we will not be moved. That doesn't mean we won't be affected by it. But it says that our foundation will not be moved. It says the other house, those things happened to it, and it fell. And look, we don't want failure. Things will come, people. Disappointments will be there in life. Things happen. But you know what? Use it as a stepping stone for your life. Stepping stone. Probably every one of you, if you would, everyone would stand up, you can tell me a disappointment in your life, huh? That I don't even know. I could probably tell you things you don't know about my life. And I'm here preaching. But you see, we don't look at disappointments. We look at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's in control of all things, people. Storms of life may rise up, but God is still in control. Make sure that he is your chief cornerstone. And don't ever let anybody take it out. And you and I don't take it out of our lives. And he builds our lives upon that stone that has been set, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Psalms 118, verse 22. And it'll be the last scripture. Page 997. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise him and we honor him for who he is. It says, is the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Listen to this. Bibles use the word capstone, which is interesting. He is our chief cornerstone for our lives. We got that, huh? He is. And we're going to keep it that way, no matter what. No matter what comes, the wind, the rain, whatever, he's our chief cornerstone. That he's going to be number one no matter what. If everybody that you know of turns from God, will you serve God? That's a hefty question, people. If every Christian you know of, you found out today, has turned themselves from God and has gone another way, will you stand firm and say, I will follow the King of Kings? He's the chief cornerstone for you. As they build their houses in the Old Testament and parts of the New Testament, they used stones, and they had the chief cornerstone, which is the one that was firm, the one that was probably the biggest, and they just built around using that. And when they got to the top, they put the capstone, the headstone. Our lives have to have the chief cornerstone and the capstone. Ooh. Everything in there in our lives is sandwiched in. That's our lives. He is the firm foundation, and he's building our lives, and also he's the capstone. Chief cornerstone and the capstone of our lives. No matter what happens, we will serve him. He puts the end to the end of it. You might say, well, when does that capstone happen? Could be at the rapture of the church, people. My Lord, we know he's coming back for his church. We know he's coming. And so we continually serve him and share the gospel no matter what. He's our firm foundation, chief cornerstone, but also he's the capstone. That no matter where we go or what we do, he's in charge, people. No matter what happens in our life, no matter what storm passes us and comes our way. Because honestly, most storms come in our life, it's out of our hands. It's out of our hands. But it's not out of the hands of the living God you serve. At all. He settles it. He takes control. And you know what? Sometimes, honestly, because I've had things happen years ago that I'm just trying to find, I'm finding out why now. We don't know sometimes. That's where faith comes in, to serve him, people. We don't know why certain things happen. Some things we do. Some things we don't. And if he wants to reveal it to us later on in life, that's up to him. But we know this. He's our firm foundation, the chief cornerstone, and he is the capstone for us too. And we're sandwiched in in our lives towards him, saying, Father, what do you want? He leads us and guides us in the right direction. Amen. You may stand, please.